It's Friday, January 15th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, everyone, I got a great show for you. I'm back. Yes, I'm back in Honolulu for one show only, and then it's off to Florida. Hey, I got a great show for you. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go-fly.
Microphone.
We're go-fly.
Video feed.
Go!
Web browser.
No!
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go-fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geekness Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey, as I'm looking here on my recording system, someone has cranked up some audio in a big way, and I'm going to reach back here behind me and turn down the audio a little bit because something is way off. It is significant. So, okay, I think I've got it dialed down to the point where it's going to be okay for the rest of the show. And that happens when I go away for a while. Somebody got in here. Probably some little kid got in here and made an adjustment, and it was way hot, and of course, I didn't check it before the show started. Hey, I want to welcome all the new listeners to the Geek News Central podcast. Hey, this is my show that I normally do here in Honolulu late in the evening, and of course, if you're checking us out on Ustream, I want to welcome you, of course, to the live show, and if you're listening to the show later, hey, that's cool, too. No matter how you subscribe to the podcast, I want to thank you for tuning in and being part of the Ohana here. So, as you all know, I've spent the last 10 days or so out in Vegas, and finally back here in Honolulu, gotten kind of all situated, back in the swing of things for really to kind of get back in the groove to do the regular show. And that's actually kind of excited me because we've been doing such weird kind of content, not weird, but different kind of content over the last 2 weeks. And I want to thank all of you that have been here the entire time watching the video content that came down the normal audio podcast feed for being patient. And like I said on the last show, this would we'd revert back to our normal schedule. Of course, I do want to welcome the Ohana, all of you that are longtime listeners of the show. Thanks for being staying subscribed, being part of the family. We want to welcome listeners from 160 countries worldwide. And we want to encourage our new listeners that are checking us out tonight for the very first time to sign up for our newsletter. The newsletter is comes out after every show, contains all the show notes of everything that I talk about during tonight's podcast, including listener submissions. You can send in your submissions to the show if you have things to ask me about or something that you want me to cover. You can do that at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call the voicemail hotline at +1-619-342-7365. I do want to thank all of our team that was out in Vegas. I want to thank Andy, Jeffrey, Rob, Cara, Jack, Tom, Bob, and Scott for all their hard work. Because, boy, I tell you, we really made them work the entire time they were out there. Lots of great stuff was accomplished, and we'll talk a little bit about that more here in the future. Of course, it's back to Honolulu and back to kind of ops normal. We've got a situation in Japan right now. My wife's father is not doing well, so I'm a little worried about taking off for Florida this coming Sunday evening. But we're going to proceed as planned, and hopefully everything works out, and he doesn't end up deteriorating any further. He's back in the hospital, had a session at the home where he actually choked on some food, and family member found him when he was blue. Nothing was, no brain damage or nothing like that. But he's got to the point where he needs almost 24-hour care. So those of you that have older family members kind of know what they're going through and what our concern is obviously here. So kind of on pins and needles on that, but that's kind of what's happening. Hey, just to let you know, make sure if you're wanting to get all the content that we recorded at CES, that you subscribe to the special media feed. The special media feed is, of course, on the website now. You can find it in the second column of the website. The special media feed will contain all of the videos that we record. Of course, you can watch stuff on the main website. After the show tonight, I'm going to be putting up three more videos. That's kind of how the plan is. I'm going to release like three a day so your podcatcher can keep up. Make sure if you're subscribed through iTunes that you're essentially going in there and selecting download all or get all. You have to kind of dig in iTunes to find that setting. That way you won't miss any of the shows and you'll get them. I want to just talk for a second about some incredible numbers that we had for the content. The download numbers on the NBC Universal stuff has been unbelievable. I think it's about 250,000 what I'm showing right now in downloads for just the two NBC Universal events. Both of those files over 250,000 now each. Our wrap-up shows, not as many this year, but still doing very well in six digits, and I'm hoping those will bust to 200,000 before it's all over. Now, each of our individual videos that we have on the special media feed, they will not get as many downloads, but we are noticing a good views on all of the content that's basically being embedded on the websites. I just started dropping stuff onto YouTube, so those numbers are still kind of low. But again, we've distributed stuff so far and wide, people get it wherever they can. So lots of stuff going. And I learned a new thing about my Mac. Those of you that are Mac users, you guys will actually be proud of me. What I've been doing, and this is probably dumb, but I just didn't know. In Final Cut, I would edit a video. I'd do the encoding, you know, go away, you know, drink some coffee, you know, relax for 10 minutes while encoded a video, come back, edit another video, do some encoding. And I knew compressor was a tool that you could use to batch all the encoding, but I really had just never sat down and taken the time to learn it. So on the flight back from Vegas to Honolulu, I played around with compressor on my MacBook Pro and figured it out. And was pretty happy that I did, because last night I just did the ins and outs, dropped the videos together, saved them as a project, and then exported them to compressor. And what really ended up happening was is I had 20 videos all chopped, cut, produced, and ready for encoding in about 2 hours, and basically set the batch jobs that I wanted done to those. And which really is going to help, because we're pushing two videos. One video goes up to Blip in actually 720p, and then the video that goes down into the stream that the people are getting for their iPhone or Apple TV goes up at 640 by 360. So I was ecstatic, because as I was sleeping last night, compressor was working away, and when I woke up this morning, I had 40 video files all ready to go. And so I was just, I turned the faucet on and started uploading them into Blip into private mode, and send Andy and Jeffrey an email and say, hey, we got 20 in there to edit, go at it. And they're like, huh? You know, there used to be putting up like five a day or so, and I dropped 20 on them. So it should speed up. Actually, what it's going to do is going to allow us to keep the volume up on the websites as we're going through three or four a day in the release. So pretty excited about that. And, all you got to do is take time to learn, and Final Cut's pretty powerful. All right, let me look at the rest of my notes here. Of course, again, make sure, if you're new to the show, thanks for being here. And, of course, get subscribed. Do it via iTunes, Zune Marketplace. And we want to thank, of course, Zune for featuring us all last week as a featured website that just drove some amazing numbers as well. All right, as I said, I'm leaving for Jacksonville, Florida, Sunday evening. I'm going to be there for 2 weeks. So that means two full weeks of shows. I come back to Honolulu on 29 January. Probably will spend some time with my daughter over the weekend of the 23rd, 24th. So I look forward to going down to Tampa to see her. Hey, I do want to remind you guys that, and I haven't spoke about this for about a month, remind you that we do have the salary replacement plan going for my salary. Talked about that in an earlier show, where basically, you know, the advertising for the show is paying my salary now, but I'm looking for listener donations to move us into the point where I can actually afford to hire someone to come on the show. You'll find a link to that in the Second Kamala website, and we appreciate those of you that are contributing monthly to my salary replacement plan. With that, of course, we got two great sponsors. And really, I kind of consider this my really, truly official kind of first show of the year, even though we've had several. Two great sponsors have been with us here for the last 5 years. GoDaddy.com, of course. Hey, if you're looking for domain names, dedicated servers, virtual dedicated servers, whatever it may be in the online arena, GoDaddy is where to go. They have been a rampant supporter of this show, a rampant supporter of many other podcasts out there. So we hope when you're getting ready to, you know, go online or add some services to a hosting account or something like that, that you think about me. And when you get to that checkout counter, use the promo code T-O-D-D, T-O-D-D. That'll get you 10% off on non-domain orders. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Todd20 will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. And of course, Citrix, of course, they've been here from the beginning as well, and with our GoToMeeting product. And how many of you are still following your New Year's resolution? I still am, even though I really haven't started it, for a better word. And so, yes, I'm following my New Year's resolution. But with GoToMeeting, I got a New Year's resolution for you as well. Work smarter in 2010. Use GoToMeeting to meet clients and colleagues online. With GoToMeeting, brought to you by Citrix, you can save time and money by holding meetings online. Instead of driving to meet in person, use GoToMeeting to conduct sales presentations, product demos, training sessions right from your desk. Stay productive and efficient to avoid the hassle of unnecessary travel. I use GoToMeeting all the time and can't remember how I really have done business without using it at all. You can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, but you must visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. And as I turn around here, something is totally jacked. I don't know who. I have a suspicion on who was in here messing with some knobs, but I'm peeking out all over the place, and I don't know why. And it's not good because I think the audio on this show is going to be in, being jacked up. But so hopefully I can get this thing. I should have paid attention to that. Being gone, you never know when little hands have been in moving the knobs. So anyway, thanks to GoToMeeting, a longtime sponsor here, of course, GoDaddy as well. And thank to all of you for being longtime supporters here of the show. And being with us. I got a lot of stuff for you tonight, a lot of regular content, and love to hear you guys' feedback on everything that we've been rolling out to you over the past 10 to 15 days here. And, of course, if you have comments again on tonight's show, you can do that via geeknews@gmail.com. All right, you got a bunch of stuff here stacked up. Let me go ahead and pull the first one up. Probably the biggest news over the past week was Google just absolutely dropped a bombshell and told the folks in China, hey, you are hacking our Gmail system. They didn't accuse them directly, but they implied it. We have investigated that, and you're, you know, basically trying to steal, log into Chinese dissident Gmail accounts. You've limited the amount of search results we can have in China, and we're done. Basically, Google just threw the gauntlet down and said, hey, either you allow us to have completely open search results like we have here in the United States and most of the rest of the world, or we're out of here. And boy, what big, that just like, whew, it was big. And the folks at in China basically said, hey, internet firms that abide by our laws are welcome. Otherwise, go away. So China has essentially given Google the cold shoulder, and it's apparent that Google.cn is not real happy. The folks over there are not happy with Beijing censorship. And for one, you know, we have to remember China is still a communist country controlled by a regime that, is very tough on its people with its speak out. So I for one, will finally applaud Google for actually standing up and having guts to stand up to the Chinese. So we'll see what happens here. We'll see if they back down where this plays out. I don't know. But maybe Google will walk away. Now, there's been just response after response after response. I could spend the whole show really talking about this. But, I think a couple of things that we should think about is what's Google losing it by basically standing up to China? Probably what they're going to lose is the ability to be in that market in the future. And obviously, huge. You talk about the United States is, how many people we got here and how many people they got there. So as that economy continues to grow and more people get online, you're definitely going to see a lot more business going through the internet in China. So I don't know. What's Google going to lose? What's the monetary loss? Maybe not a lot now, but we'll see. Now, also, Google up to this point, along with Yahoo and other companies, have not done a lot to fight the Chinese censors and other and basically call out on human rights issues. They've been willing to let the Chinese do what they're going to do and kind of just ignore them. And that, to me, has been, it's been sad to see of, the variety of companies they're doing. Now, Microsoft is not changing their business plan for China. They're going to continue to play along. And we'll see. We'll see what happens to us. Now, I'd love to hear what you guys think about this announcement from Google. What do you think this means to Google.cn? Do you care? Do you think it's about time that Google stood up to the Chinese? What's the loss over the long run? Is this going to hurt the Chinese the general populace more than what the censorship was? I don't know. So let's talk about this a little bit. You guys can email me, of course. Now, Microsoft did come out with a warning, and all of a sudden, quote unquote, they're going to fix a bug that was Internet Explorer that was used to perpetrate these Chinese attacks on Google. Google has also stepped up and made Gmail now a HTTPS secure socket layer connection so that when you're getting your content on Gmail, you're going to be on a secure socket layer. So that's a long time coming, and glad to see that that's happening. So, it took this type of an action for Microsoft to stand up. Now, of course, the United States government, actually the State Department, the offices of Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, made a comment as well supporting Google's stance, which I thought was interesting. And then we're going to address this more later, or actually sometime next week. So the stance out of the government, basically at this point, saying that the country is troubled by a recent cyber attacks originating from China that targeted human rights activists. And I don't think why they should be surprised. We all should. Why is the government all of a sudden surprised? There's been known attacks before. They know that the Chinese are actively going after governmental computers. It's been pretty much in the news. What's the big surprise? Why all of a sudden are we, all of a sudden having this discussion, about what's going on in China? I think it's, well known here for at least, was this a surprise to all of you? But you can see, those of you on Ustream, you can see the headline there: U.S. troubled by China cyber attacks. Well, shouldn't they have been, been a little bit concerned about that a while ago? Come on. It's, give me a break. Now, going into this just a little bit deeper, New York Times, of course, reports that Google has upgraded security on Gmail, which is probably going to be good for all of us irregardless. And they've also, all of a sudden reports have come out that they've identified the command servers behind the Google attack. And yes, they're related to governmental IPs, blah, blah, blah. Why is this all of a sudden big news? Should this come as a surprise? Oh, you know, I just, and what's funny is that just a swath of articles, one after the other, all outlining who, what, and where, and when. You know, it was, you know, and this supposedly just came to light this week, Google making the announcement. Okay, well, it is what it is, but obviously Google did this, had to put some thought into it, because it's a pretty bold statement when it comes to business. And I like their statement, but a little bit late, really. All right, let's talk a little bit more on just regular tech stuff here. And actually, let me go ahead and take that, try this, do it this way. There we go. USPC market share for fourth quarter of 08 versus the fourth quarter of 09. This is kind of interesting here. HP, 29.6% market share. Dell, 22.5%. Acer, 13.7%. Toshiba, 8.5%. And Apple at 7.4%. The reason they feel that Apple has slipped to fifth in market share in the fourth quarter of 09 is that these $299, $399 PCs that are for sale are definitely causing an impact to their bottom line and the number of PCs sold. So basically, Apple has come in fifth in the brand market share. There is a little bit deeper look at actually on the PC market share itself, and Apple's hanging in at about 8%, which is actually fourth. So this is two different numbers here. US PC market share, 2008 versus 2009. Apple's hung pretty close, 7.9 in 2008 and 8.0 in 2009. So their market share hasn't changed that much. Acer, of course, has made huge gains because of their a lot of their netbook sales. And worldwide sales is showing Apple not even to be really on the chart here, which is which I find surprising, at least not in the top five. So I'll have this link up. It's up in an article from ArsTechnica.com. Let's talk a little bit about fiber. Many of you probably are wishing that you had fiber to your home, maybe the Verizon Fios service. I know that here in Honolulu, I would just about pay anything to have fiber here in the home. And that's not going to happen because Verizon doesn't even have a business unit here. But Verizon is having trouble. They're having trouble selling their the Fios service. They're not having big uptake in the communities that they're in. And they have basically kind of slowed down rollout while they're trying to build the subscriber base. And what I find interesting is, and this is going to show, this is going to make all of us here in the States, you know, pretty much, we're just going to be shaking our head in disgust. In Hong Kong, a company called Hong Kong Broadband Network announced their initial results of its Awesome Speed for Everyone sales, which offered a symmetric 100 megabits per second fiber connection for the hefty price of for $13 a month, U.S. In 2 months, it has been offering customer growth tripled compared to their earlier months in 2009. So again, this is $13 for 100 meg per second connection in Hong Kong, which is not necessarily been known to be a cheap place to live, and here we go, $13 a month for 100 meg connection, as compared to the Verizon Fios service, where you get half the download speed and one-fifth the upload speed. They're selling that for $140 a month. So, if they bundle that with a local phone service and requiring a one-year commitment, it obviously is very much more expensive. So how can this company in Hong Kong offer 100 megs per second fiber connection for $13 a month, yet Verizon can't bring their Fios service down to a reasonable cost that that most people can afford? You know, I think for the average person, you know, they're probably saying, why do I need this fast fiber connection? There's only so many geeks like Todd out there that need the super fast speed. So they got to do something. They got to do something with their price. And it's evident that adoption rates will go up if you lower the price. And, you know, they're just going to have to do that at some point. All right, those of you that live in the UK, this is something I need you all to really listen to here. UK lawmakers behind the controversial digital economy bill have agreed, and I'm reading this directly off the article over at Ars Technica, have agreed to refine provisions that would allow the Secretary of State to modify sanctions against peer-to-peer users at any time without parliamentary approval, though the Department of Business insists that it's not backing off from the provision. It's considered ways to narrow the scope of power. So in other words, what they've been able to, what they're going to do here is they're going to have reserve powers. So this power would give the Secretary of State more power than many are comfortable with, but the reserve powers are now being refined through the Department of Business. And essentially, now I can't imagine, it'd be probably be a, why would the Secretary of State be given the right to modify sanctions against peer-to-peer users? That's pretty broad. That's pretty high in government. You know, that is government intrusion at its very highest. And that kind of blows me away. Of course, those of you that live in the UK probably should pay attention to this. So the section of the bill, section 17, you're going to have to pay attention to. The government remains squarely behind the aims of Clause 17, a spokesman for the Department of Business told the BBC, and they've tabled a series of amendments which aim to clarify the breadth and scope of the clause and further reinforce the transparency of the process and the scrutiny of Parliament. So in other words, they're going to still allow the Secretary of State to have sweeping powers to change the peer-to-peer rules, seems to be at least on the fly. So I'll have this linked up for our UK listeners. Another news out of the BBC today, Europe wants a decision this year on an extension to the life of the International Space Station. So, you know, the space, we talked about this on a previous show. You guys know that right now funding for the International Space Station ends in 2015. And the Europeans are obviously saying, hello, NASA. You guys need to pay attention here because we think that the International Space Station should be funded through at least 2020. And now, you know, you think about it. We haven't even finished building it yet. The last missions are going up this year. We're going to talk a little bit about that here a little later in the show. But just to get it built and then abandon it in 5 years, it doesn't make any sense, does it? So I think it's right by the European Space Agency to basically call NASA to task and say, hey, we need to extend the mission of the International Space Station to at least 2020. Personally, I think it's going to be up there a lot longer. So I just don't see them abandoning billions of dollars of, you know, hardware and the investment we've made to put it up there. It's, you know, it's up there running fine. Now, if we have the lift to support it, will be another thing. But I just don't see us, you know, abandoning the International Space Station at 2015 or even 2020. Okay, over on CNET.com, and this has been making the rounds today, Cox Wireless coming in March. So those of you that live in a Cox service area, Cox Communications is aiming for a March to launch its wireless service. This is a 4G service. Cox is going to be reselling Sprint service initially to get into the market more quickly. And it's also using the $550 million worth of spectrum it bought in the Federal Communications Commission, AWS, and 700 megahertz wireless auction to build its own 3G network using EVDO. And it will eventually migrate to 4G LTE technology. But they've got a pretty interesting plan here. It looks like their goal is to really come in cheap. Not have limits, not have bandwidth caps. We'll see what happens. But they've got a YouTube video out there that is pretty eye-opening that I watched. And the strategy is a little different from what we've seen Cox do in the past. You know, if it's, you know, everyone that's on a wired network, it's all about, hey, don't go over your 250 gigs of storage, 250 gigs of bandwidth each month. So we'll see what goes there. Now, I've actually had a great luck in Vegas with our 4G service with Clear. Sprint was a little spotty, but after everyone left town, of course, it was great. I think I was up 42 hours without having to reset it. I was doing some searching on the internet today to see you know, if 4G is going to be available when I go out to Jacksonville, and it looks to me like it's not. Looks like I'm going to be on an EVDO 3G there, which is fine in whatever bandwidth is in the hotel. But I got spoiled, really, by having that 4G availability and able to push up at the 1K mark. All right, little news out of Apple. Well, not necessarily direct news, but Apple has basically showed their cards here a little bit. There was a contest that is being promoted. Hang on here a second. There's a contest being promoted by the folks over at Gawker Media and ValleyWag to essentially pay for someone to show them evidence of a tablet. And this is pretty exciting stuff. If you want to break the NDA that you may have with Apple, you have the chance to earn up to $100,000. If you can give get one of these into the, if you may have one, and you get one of these into the hands of ValleyWag for an hour, they'll give you $100,000. If you can get a picture of Steve Jobs holding one, they'll give you $50,000 for that. And they're paying $10,000 for photos of the device or $20,000 for a video of it. So with verification, of course, they hold the money until the announcement. But Apple sent ValleyWag a cease and desist letter, at least their lawyers did, basically tell them, hey, this contest that you're having is illegal. You need to cease and desist, and that you need to, you know, end all contests immediately. Well, they basically said, ha, ha, ha. So we'll see where they go with this next. But do you think they're going to have any takers? Now, surprisingly, there's been some discussion by some very high-level Mac people that usually in the know saying, hey, this thing doesn't exist. It's this is going to be the biggest joke of the year. And the event that they're going to have here at the end of the month is really going to be the announcement of a refresh of the Mac Pro line using the Intel i5 chip. I don't know if I really believe that, but basically the cease and desist letter from Apple kind of semi-confirms it. And by the way, we only got 5 emails for me to stop talking about the Apple tablet. So not overwhelming response to have me stop discussing it. All right, the doomsday clock has good news for the human race. They set the time back another minute. You know, remember the doomsday clock was originally set up for how close we were to destroying ourselves through nuclear proliferation and war with the Soviets. Well, now the doomsday clock is more essentially align not only with weapons of mass destruction, but also the green effect, you know, how bad we're treating the environment and so forth. So the folks, at least at the Bulletin for Atomic Scientists, have turned the clock back a minute. So we are now 6 minutes away from midnight from doomsday. And so we'll see what happens here. It's a symbolic gesture, of course. But one that carries some weight with the millions raised so far for victims of the devastating Haiti earthquake taken into account. It may well paint a picture of a positive coming decade. Now, I do want to, I was going to mention at the beginning of the show, and I did not have it listed here. Absolute tragedy in Haiti. Oh, my gosh. Your heart just has to go out to the millions of people that are affected. Having traveled to a number of third world countries before having been in buildings that were not necessarily built to American standards, not in the Caribbean, but in Asia, I can only imagine that level of an earthquake. When I was living in Guam, we were hit by, it was really high. It was stronger than the one in Haiti, but we only had two buildings that end up having to be imploded from that earthquake. And it was a little different earthquake. It was about 30 miles away, so we didn't get the full brunt of it. But all the buildings collapsed and the poor people trapped, or it's, you know, even worse, a death toll. It's horrible. It really, really is. And sadly, I think it's going to get much worse before it gets better, them trying to get support in. And I think at this point, probably the millions of people that are left homeless, and it's going to get ugly. I really think it is. No water, no power, it's going to get bad. And I know that I was talking with my sister's husband. He knows that they're sending a medical ship with some helicopters. They're actually sending that south, so they'll have a Mercy-type ship on scene. But, you know, the number of people that need assistance, they're going to get overwhelmed pretty quickly. And those folks there, sadly, are being left to pretty much fend for themselves for a while. And with the government not really having the resources to bring anything to task, it's going to be a long road for the folks in Haiti. So my heart goes out to them. And if you have a family member that's there or so forth, you know, let us know. But, it's bad. It really, really is. And you just go, oh, your heart sinks when you see the pictures. It really does. So anyway, I guess at least the folks at the Doomsday Clock thinks that we're, as a species, we're doing better and we're not so far away from self-destruction. T-Mobile has waived all call charges to and from Haiti. So this is nice to see T-Mobile having done that. They will be doing what they can to lend in their aid in the wake of the magnitude 7 earthquake. And they're going to allow current T-Mobile customers to make phone calls to Haiti free of charge. T-Mobile is hoping to help unite family members by enabling phone calls without charges retroactively from January 12th, 2010 until January 31st. So this is for any, again, to and from Haiti. So free calls. And of course, many of those folks there cannot afford to have a phone. So hopefully they'll be able to, at least use some free phone service to make a call to a loved one here in the United States. But, there's lots of places where you can donate money, of course. Just be careful out there that you're giving to a legitimate organization. Now let's go ahead and talk a little bit about one of the president's appointees who's going to be heading the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs. This gentleman advocated in a recent paper called The Cognitive Infiltration of Groups, in other words, The Cognitive Infiltration of Groups That Advocate Conspiracy Theories, like the ones surrounding 9/11, chat rooms, online social networks, and even real space groups, whatever real space groups are, an attempt to undermine those groups. This gentleman's name, last name is Sustin. Let's see if I can find his full name. No, Sunstein. He admits that some conspiracy theories under our definition have turned out to be true, but he was recently advocated banning websites which post right-wing rumors and wanted to bring back the fairness doctrine. And there's a PDF paper out. This is up on Slashdot. This is not out on any political site. But I find it interesting here that this guy that's going to be running the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs advocated infiltration of groups that advocate conspiracy theories. Yes, you heard me correctly. He advocated this. Is that scary? Advocated infiltration of groups? In other words, you're online and some site that may have a little bit of a, you know, it's out there type of theory, and he's advocating infiltration. What are they going to do with the people they find talking about it? Are they going to come lock them up? Drag them out of the houses in the middle of the night? You know, back in 1956 to 1971, the FBI, under co-intel pro, focused on disrupting, marginalizing, and neutralizing political dissidents. Now, we know that there was some pretty crazy stuff that went on back then. But to think that these folks are going to be engaging bloggers and people that participate, he advocated this? Wow. Scary stuff. Really scary stuff. Do we want him running that office? If you don't, you know, if you don't think this is a good choice, I think you ought to call your congressman. Hey, let's talk a little bit about how they email from the space shuttle or from the International Space Station. And this is just a little bit of trivia here. And they're using Microsoft Office 2003 on the space shuttle and International Space Station. They of course, exchange email, but not quite in the same way that we do here. Each day, NASA uploads a small .ost file for each crew member. And an OST file is kind of like, is essentially an Outlook PST file. It contains all the Outlook data. Normally, an OST file has all your email, calendar, contacts, etc. But for shuttle crew, the OST is just a container for exchanging groups of messages. Basically, what's sent to the shuttle is about limited to about 4 megs in size, whereas compared to on the International Space Station, they sent their allowed, I guess, up to about 30 to 4 megs. So significantly larger, but the International Space Station has a lot more bandwidth capacity. And plus, they're saying the shuttle folks, the shuttle crew, really don't have a lot of time to be reading email. So kind of cool how they do that. They just, you know, they don't connect to a mail server. They just send the file down. That's got to be kind of a pain. Yeah, hopefully they've got it automated. All right, imagine that you have paid a firm to install security cameras throughout your city. And when police were watching several of those monitors, they noticed that they never changed. Well, in Moscow, during several months of 2009, Moscow police looked at fake pictures displayed on their monitors instead of what was supposed to be video from city surveillance cams. The subcontractor providing the cams was paid on the basis of the number of working cameras, so he delivered pre-cooked pictures stored on his servers. Yeah, you don't want to do this in Moscow. The camera company CEO has been arrested, probably threw in a gulag. How would that take you about 15 minutes to figure out, right? Picture of a street, it's just looping. It's daylight, you know, and it's actually dark out and you're seeing a daylight picture. Wouldn't be too hard to figure out, right? All right, let's talk about the worst of CES 2010. And I'm not going to, this is from the folks over at Huffington Post. I am not going to condemn or agree with any of these findings. But there's a couple ones here that we saw last year. Crave, the disposable e-cigarette, where you can smoke, but you're not really smoking the electronic cigarette. Matter of fact, one of the companies that's on that list is a company that, we did an interview with them. I had gotten some of this stuff before the show. It's called CyberClean. It's like a goo. It's the high-tech cleaning compound for all electronic devices, safe and easy to use, patented deep cleansing action. Press it on and the dirt is gone. Okay. Haven't tried it. The team did. And, you know, there was really nothing negative said. It's a patented formula, but it made Huffington's a list of worst products for 2010. So, like I said, I'm not going to agree with it. And, of course, we showed off at NBC Universal one of the products that we thought was just a really superior product. You guys saw that hat that Jeffrey wore? Yeah, the hat that you could put an iPod in and then watch. They had a little magnifying glass as seen on TV. Whew, that was a winner. We actually thought was kind of comical. We'll have a video up. It's Sonim's unbreakable phone. They were hammering nails with this thing and then throw it in a water tank. And I mean, they were beating. They were actually driving nails into wood with this phone. And basically, it's the world's toughest phone. Americans just don't get this. But we saw a toilet there that most, if you've ever went to Japan and got the warm seat, and actually this thing basically comes up and washes you up. It's got the little blow dry feature as well. The Huffington folks didn't like it, but I told the guys at the show, I said, those are actually pretty good. And why didn't you give one a try? I was trying to get someone to sit down on this bidet. It was really not a bidet. It's a toilet / bidet / blow dryer. You guys get the idea. But I have this link up in the show notes. You guys can check this out. They call it the worst product. Those are very popular, very expensive in Japan. So I don't necessarily agree with that one. Okay, let's go ahead and move on here. Hey, Google Docs to host any type of file. According to posts on the official Google blog, in the coming weeks, Google Docs will offer to host all types of files with a limited of 250 megs, which, as they say, is larger than the current limit for email attachments. This will have its consequences. Paid file sharing will die, more shared pirated material, newer vulnerabilities, and malware distribution channels. I don't know if they're going to allow these to be actively linked or not, but it definitely brings in some thoughts and consideration of hosting media sometimes, depending on, I'm sure they're going to have no direct links to this stuff, but only time will tell. Hey, over on Tech Dirt, hey, you can't innovate, litigate. Now, that being said, Kodak had a pretty cool booth this year. And did you know Kodak is bringing back the Polaroid camera? You know they had discontinued the Polaroid camera, right? Big fanfare. A lot of people complained about it. Well, the Polaroid camera, yes, the Polaroid camera is coming back. And they are going to be reintroducing it to market. As one person said in the booth, that probably wasn't a smart idea. One of the things I did see that was cool is they had a camera that actually had some built-in printers. Now, I don't know how well those worked, but so Kodak is, you know, trying real hard to keep their head above water. But Kodak is going after Apple, RIM for patent infringement in both courts and ITC. And basically what they're saying is, you guys know when you take a picture, a digital picture, and you get the preview screen of the picture? Well, apparently Kodak has a patent on that. And they're going after them for patent infringement. Okay, over on Wired, 150 geeky media people you should follow on Twitter. Nope, they'll go geek. Geek News Central is not on there. There's some well-known geeks as well. Of course, my good friend Veronica Valmont from Hack 5 is on the list. Of course, Leo Laporte from Twit is there. Some pretty cool listings of folks on there. Drew Carey's on, Stephen Fry, Bill Cosby, a whole bunch of geeky and non-geeky people are on this list. Some celebrities, of course, as well. So I don't know how these are super geeky. How's Bill Cosby a super geek? I don't get that one. But anyway, I'll have this link up in the show notes. If you want to follow these people on Twitter, you can. Hey, did you know we had a little small asteroid pass near Earth here? A small object believed to be an asteroid. Was there a question on whether it was a UFO or a visiting alien group? A small object believed to be an asteroid passed near Earth Wednesday. The object number 2010 AL30 came within 122,000 kilometers of Earth at 7:46 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the object had just been discovered Sunday. And it was pretty small. 10 to 15 meters across. It would have burned up in the atmosphere if it hadn't come in. But they thought it may have been maybe a rocket stage or something that had made the trip out and back. So anyway, that was a close call. Also, there's a payload problem with for the upcoming shuttle mission. The shuttle is set to launch on February 7th on mission STS-130 to deliver Tranquility docking node to the station. However, during routine ground tests, tubing that like that installed in Tranquility to circulate ammonia coolant ruptured at lower than expected pressures. Managers are looking into the problem to determine if a repair or replacement of the coolant loops in the module are needed. This could delay the launch to as late as mid-March, so we'll see what happens here with that. NASA's also released its first images of the WISE image. First WISE images, excuse me. And the Wide Field Infrared Survey Explorer. So some pretty cool pictures here. I have that link up for you in the show notes, of course. Got an interesting email here from Doug. Actually, not an email, but it's an article on Doug Kay's website. And for those of you on Comcast that really haven't talked to Comcast, you have your internet with Comcast and you haven't talked to them in a while, you may want to do so, because a number of years ago, Doug upgraded his Comcast connection to 6 megs down, 1 meg up. And when he talked to Comcast on the phone the other day, they said, oh, no, you've got the 16 megs down, 1 gig up. And Doug was like, no, I don't. Apparently, it's been a couple of years since he talked to the folks at Comcast. And his old Motorola 4100 modem that he has in the house is really was not designed for these extra fast speeds. And he complained about it on Twitter, and the Comcast care guy did some playing around with his current modem, and he was able to get the 14.9 down and 1.5 meg up, more than 2 times what he saw earlier in the day. So he's going to go ahead and order a new Motorola SB6120 from Amazon that has the DOCSIS 3.0 feature. So if you've been a few years since you've talked to Comcast and you don't have a modem that's a little bit old, you may want to give them a ring and say, hey, have I got the fastest modem out there? Is this going to, you know, meet the speed needs of what I'm supposed to be getting and paying for? So this is a good one. Those of you that are podcasters, Levelator version 2.0 is out, and Doug has worked on this over the last month. He's released that free download, and of course, many of you that have used the Levelator before, basically it levels your signal out across the entire show to keep the levels the same. I use a feature within Adobe Audition called Waveform Normalize. It's similar to that, but the Levelator is free. It's a pretty good program. If you're a Sprint WiMAX customer, Sprint has reduced their monthly charge for WiMAX by $10. The price cut brings the price point now to $59.99 for monthly CDMA, monthly, and also mobile WiMAX. So this is pretty cool. So it's been dropped by $10. Give Sprint a call and see if you can get a break on your plan here. How many of you have downloaded a iPhone app that you're paying to get the New York Times on? Did you know that the New York Times does not have an app in the iPhone App Store? Did you know there's some notorious folks out there that are actually you're paying a couple bucks for the app, and then you're paying for access to the regular RSS feeds of the New York Times? Yeah. Can you believe that? They released an app that all it does is read the RSS feeds of the New York Times website, and they're charging people a monthly fee for the service. How long is that going to last? I don't think too long. Now, one thing I noticed when I was in Vegas, and this is being actually confirmed on Gizmodo, when I was doing some searches on with my mobile phone on Google, I was getting a lot of Las Vegas results. And now that I'm back here in Hawaii, I'm getting a lot of Hawaii results when I'm searching for, you know, specific things like restaurants and so forth. Well, Google mobile searches get optimized based on your location. Google's location-aware features can feel kind of creepy, but you now get some localized search results. And I have this link up that the folks at Gizmodo provide. How many of you have been to the Genius Bar recently over at the Apple Store? Have you heard of some horror stories from the Genius Bar? I've got a bunch of them to share with you. The folks at Gizmodo were nice enough to compile a list of horror stories from the Genius Bar. So I thought I'd share that with you, give you guys on the Mac side a little bit to cheer up on. Hey, you guys hear about the trees on Mars? Yeah, it's not really trees, but it kind of looks like trees. NASA and JPL have released a Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter picture that is going to have the conspiracy theorists talking for a very long time. The View creates an optical illusion. And if you haven't seen this yet, it was on CNN, Fox, all the major news stories, all the major news networks had it on because it's kind of a freaky picture. But I'll link it up in the show notes for you tonight. You guys tell me, are those trees or are those streaks? The way it looks, and here's the thing that's tricky about this picture. If you kind of try to imagine that they're trees or something, you know, maybe artifacts of trees, you'd say, boy, they look to be kind of in the right position to be trees. You'll get my point when you look at this image. You really will. But they're not. International Space Station, there was a spacewalk outside if you have a spacewalk, you're going outside. They are working to start up a new docking port on the roof of the orbiting lab. Two of the Russian cosmonauts were out and spent 6 hours hooking up cables and antennas and other gear to activate the Poisk docking port, the dock port. So apparently that's good to go and ready to receive a spacecraft now. And hey, maybe why they're having a problem out at the Kennedy Space Center, they found a little white powdery substance in the shuttle. Oh, inside the shuttle processing facility. And that white powdery was Coke. So I'm sure that there's probably going to be mandatory drug test at KFC or KSC here over the next few days. But Kennedy Space Center police confirmed the powder was cocaine. And because this area is only limited by certain people, they're now questioning employees, and I bet you people are going to be peeing in a bottle. If you're a Verizon wireless user, they're about ready to overhaul its phone and data pricing plans, so pay attention to that. I have a link up here that shows you some of the stuff that's forthcoming. I have that link, of course, up for you in the show notes. And the ad that they have, kind of, this is kind of dorky. I don't know who picked the model's clothing that's in this actual image, but they didn't do a good job. Now, you know, there's a Walmart just about everywhere. Matter of fact, I saw a video the other day of the actual build out of Walmart from their start back in the 60s. And it's rumored that Sprint is working with Walmart and putting WiMAX towers on every Walmart in the country to expedite their build out of their WiMAX market. This is only a rumor, but that's made the rounds here over the last couple of days. Okay, that kind of wraps me up for regular content tonight. I got a number of emails to go through here. No voicemails. 619-342-7365. 619-342-7365. Those of you that live outside of the United States, of course, the country code for the United States is 1. So plus 1, 619-342-7365. And I've got so many emails. It's not bad. I will go through these backwards, and if I duplicate some stuff here, I apologize. Trucker Tom sent me a number of emails. There's a new eye test that's supposedly can detect Alzheimer's up to 20 years before any symptoms show, and it's being developed by British scientists. The simple, inexpensive eye test could be part of a routine examination by opticians in as little as 3 years, allowing those in the middle age to be screened. Dementia experts said that it had the power to revolutionize the treatment of Alzheimer's by making it possible for drugs to be given at an earlier stage. Now, here's the thing that's scary here in the United States. We're going through health reform, and if they mandate this, and they know that you are going to develop Alzheimer's, what does that do for your insurance rates? They tell you 20 years before, hey, you're going to get Alzheimer's. Obviously, they can develop treatment, but, you know, we're not there yet, folks, on preventing this. So when will you go in for an eye exam and the optician just, you know, mark on your record that you are susceptible for Alzheimer's and then put that in your system and your insurance get canceled? It's getting kind of, you know, obviously there's good and there's bad. Do you think we're so evil that this will happen? What do you think? Email me, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, Tom caught on to the trees on Mars as well. He sent me a link to that. Thanks for that. Got an email here from Frank. He says, hey, Frank. He says, Todd, I want to support your position on sales tax. Internet companies should be on a level playing field with local companies. I do want to zero on something you said in your most recent podcast. You said, if we didn't have to pay taxes, our lives would be a lot better. Except for the schools our go-to, the roads we drive on, the public health departments that fight epidemics, the scientists who create, among other things, the internet, the police and fire departments who protect us, well, you get my drift. Those who claim all taxes are bad should go back to living in little mud huts on some island at somewhere, growing their own food and dying at 25 years of age, as our non-tax-paying ancestors did. We can argue that this or that tax is good or bad, but the truth is that taxes are the price of living in a civilized society. Nothing is free, especially not civilization. Frank, I believe you live in California, so I think you're paying some of the very highest taxes in the country. I live in Hawaii, and I'm paying some of the absolute highest taxes in the country. My property tax goes all back to the city. A large portion of that goes into a school system that has that's ranked like 49th in the country, and they have taxed me to death here. And yet we end up with horrible schools. The police force is good. Fire departments are good. Roads here are horrible. Yes, in Hawaii, the roads are horrible. So, you know, there's responsible spending of tax money. But, you know, so much of our tax dollars stay are, you know, going for social services and so forth. But I agree. You have to pay some taxes. But I'd like to see it spent a lot more wisely, as all of us would. Got an email from Jason. Says, hey, Todd, I'm behind you. So I'm not sure if you had talked about this yet. But with your discussion about online sales taxes and how it would be good if all stores collected sales taxes for all states, I don't know if you've thought of this from a business point of view. Tracking, submitting, and remitting taxes is complicated and time-consuming. A business had to do this for every state, which I assume have different tax laws. That could be a nightmare for a small business. Sure, Amazon and eBay may be able to do it, but small businesses that may only do a few thousand dollars of sales for a given state will now have way more overhead. In Ontario, Canada, where I am from, we're in the process of combining the provincial and federal sales tax to save businesses from having to do both. They are selling it, saying that it will save businesses money every year, which they will be able to be passed on to the customer. But I'm sure it would go the other way, too. It would increase costs for businesses that currently collect for one state to have to now collect for all states, and that will drive up the cost of, on top of adding the cost of the taxes. You know, that is a good point. Here's the thing, though. This could be done with some common sense. You know, a small business probably wouldn't have more than, let's say they collected over $1,000 in sales tax for a specific state. Maybe that would be the breaking point. You know, I think you'd have to look at it in a volume perspective as well. And it would also open a new business up. It would open up businesses that would take care of that for you. So then further helping the economy. But I'm sure I'm going to get more email on this, people saying, that's ridiculous. So it's okay. I got an email from Rachel. Hey, Todd, thought you might find this interesting. It's a recent piece by Sam Diaz of ZDNet on TV Everywhere experiment, which he calls an example of free market evolving and adapting with changing times. The takeaway here for me is this. The TV industry is in a state of rapid change. No one knows where this is going. Subscription models versus advertising models, set-top boxes versus web-connected TV screens, or even the rise of cloud-based on-demand access. Instead of jumping in and crying antitrust to the feds about the TV Everywhere efforts, we should be giving the traditional players a chance to stay in the game and experiment with a model that just might work. ZDNet says, stay away, Washington. Let TV Everywhere grow and evolve. Enjoy, Rachel. Rachel, I agree. The feds need to stay out. The set-top box people need to play and learn how to make this happen. I agree with your assessment exactly, and it's a good article over on ZDNet. Got an email from Bree, longtime listener of the show. She's out in the D.C. area. She says, hey, the FCC seeks more time to complete national broadband plan. And she gives me a link up to GCN.com. I'll have that link up in the show notes. And Bree also sent me a link to, and this one here is a very cool, actually, let me see if there's an actual, the pictures are loading in the email. Todd, thought you might enjoy these pictures. The waves of Hawaii. And these are some truly remarkable pictures this guy took. And I'm trying to see if there's a website associated with this. There's not. Bree, if you're send me an email if you can. If you can find where this was linked up to, I'd love to put this in the show notes. But these are truly remarkable pictures. It's pictures of a Waimea Bayshore break surfer, pioneer husband and father of two, Clark Little, has gained nationwide recognition for photography on national television. So I guess maybe you could search, folks, for Clark Little to find these pictures. But some of these ocean pictures are pretty remarkable. Okay, if you get an email in a subject line with something to do with Osama bin Laden, this is basically from some folks. They say don't open the emails. They're basically loaded with a virus, so be careful there. Trucker Tom sent me an email also on for some 3D movies, a pain in the head, and this is basically discussing some folks are actually, after spending a couple hours watching a 3D television of a sports activity, are having have the risk of a headache for eye strain. Got an email here from Near saying, hey, Todd, this should be a double interest to you. U.S. Navy in Hawaii talks about U.S. Navy bringing solar power to Pearl Harbor. I'll have that link up in the show notes for you. Got an email from another email from Trucker Tom talking about snowdrifts and Amtrak train delays. I have that linked up. Got an email here from Bruce that says, Todd, listening to show number 541 about streaming TV on mobiles. In the UK, TVCatchup.com has started streaming live TV over the net to the mobile phone. In other words, iPhone. Only live feeds, but there are other catch-up options out there. Really good quality. Have a look at the channel lineup at www.TVCatchup.com. Works over 3G as well, but may be UK specific. Have not tried it on a PC yet, but does lend itself to Media Center HD PC. It is web-based. About to start catching up on your CS content. Appreciate your efforts and information. Or trying to keep up to see with GNC, Geek Brief, Engadget, Digital Lifestyle, etc. Bruce. Thanks for that, Bruce. I appreciate it. Got an email here from Russ. He says, hey, Todd, having this requirement of local state governments getting sales tax revenue for online retail is a total nightmare scenario logistically. What you would be asking these businesses, many of them small and pop selling their goods is online, is enormous. And it's basically, he goes into the same thing he was talking about. Another writer had submitted basically about having to submit to multiple states. Again, Russ, I think there should be some common sense put to it on dollars spent. Got an email. Oh, Clinton said, hey, Todd, yeah, there's been plenty of discussion about this already. Nothing new to cover until it's announced. Perhaps you can cover other tablets. They're already on the street instead. So, Clinton sent me that. He's over at comedyforecast.com. Great podcast. Let's see here. I hope I'm not duplicating any email here that we've already read. Hey, I'm a podcaster myself. Me and my friends are doing a show called The Ice Podcast for quite a while. And I was wondering whether we could ask you to play our promo on your show. Hopefully we could change the favor. Chris, oh, yeah, let's see if we can play this here for him. And here, hopefully this is a clean promo. Let's go ahead and...
This is the Ice Podcast.
I found a diary, 27th of December, 1995. I read the Kingfisher Charles Wilt Encyclopedia.
The whole encyclopedia? Hey, Dad, before I go to bed, could you read me the whole encyclopedia, please?
With movie reviews, strange news, and stupid ghost stories, www.theicepodcast.com.
28th of December, 1995.
How could you top that day? After you've read the encyclopedia, the whole works of Shakespeare.
Subscribe to the Ice Podcast now.
All right, there's a promo for the guys over at the Ice Podcast. Of course, a UK podcast. So just Google them, folks. I'm assuming the icepodcast.co.uk. I'll look for it here after we get off the show. I think that's it. I think that's everything. And I want to thank Joey for his Dropbox referral. And what else do we have? I think that's it. If I missed your show, I'm sorry. I mean, missed your email, I'm sorry. We had a bunch to catch up on. Hey, back into the normal groove here. And obviously, the studio was a little bit out of alignment audio-wise. I'm almost scared to listen to the recording. But hey, thanks for hanging out with me. And for those of you on Ustream, I hope you've enjoyed the show. Camera alignment was a little bit off, too. But hey, what can I say? It's... you know, it takes me a few days to get the studio back dialed in. Kids have been running through here like crazy. But next two shows, We'll have the, I got to share this before I go. Mac users, I'm sorry, but streaming video on a Mac just sucks. It really does. Even using CamTwist, we tried to figure out how to go from a USB webcam to a video that would play and actually go over the stream. Because what we were trying to do is we were recording all this back channel video at CES, and we just couldn't get the videos to play. Now, I had my lower end PC, just a 2-core PC with me that I had not loaded VidBlaster on. And VidBlaster, I'm actually limited by the number of license activation. So I really didn't want to activate a number of license for that machine because I don't use that machine of VidBlaster. But the guys were, scratching their head. So I went ahead and installed VidBlaster on my 2-core Windows PC, Windows Vista PC, and connected 2 webcams to it. Uh-huh, 2. And actually dropped all the MP4 files, all the video files from the that we'd collected over the last, couple of days. And I came up live on the stream, was able to switch from webcam to webcam, patched in the videos, did everything. It was easy. I mean, 3 minutes we were up and running. Really, it just was not hard at all. And so I just wanted to share that with you, that yes, we found something that the Mac couldn't do. I'm sure someone's going to send me an email. So, you just didn't do this. You could have done that. Could have done this. Well, no, I had a room full. There was 8 other people in the room that all had Macs, and none of them, and these were all like geeky online folks. No one else could figure it out. But Windows and VidBlaster to the rescue. And of course, this show is done here on a Windows TriCaster running 6 cameras or 6 video inputs. And for those of you watching on Ustream, you can see there's camera 1, camera 2, camera 3, camera 4, video screen from the Ohana 1 and Ohana 2. So anyway, I just had to make a little fun. I know I'm going to get some emails saying you should use this software and use that. And actually, that's my goal here, is to try to get all of you to tell me how it could have been done on a Mac. Because when I go to Jacksonville, I got to travel with 3 computers. That's going to be fun going through TSA. TSA tore my bag apart at McCarran International. They might as well just dump the bag out. I'm still looking for stuff. And, that's where you get your computer bag organized. You know which pocket everything's in. You don't want anybody to touch it, but they had to strip it to send it through the X-ray machine. So anyway, it'll be fun going through security on Sunday. You guys can be thinking about me. And also, I'll be that guy that's in line that everyone's given the evil eye, given stink eye to, as I'm pulling out 3 notebooks. They're probably like, why are you traveling with 3 computers? And what I always say? My coworker broke one. I'm bringing a new laptop to him. That's what I tell everybody. So what excuse do you use when you're going through TSA with 3 computers? Or have you ever traveled with 3? So you don't want to check them. They end up busted. By the way, all the gear made it back. Cameras are all back, checked out. I was a little worried because I FedExed 2 of the cameras. I checked the big one, the big Sony Z1U. Everything came back. Knock on wood, all the gear's here. But don't buy Kingston memory, all right? We're going to be talking about that more in the future. Kingston memory, 2 thumbs down. Anybody works at Kingston? Love to talk to you about it. And that didn't work in my JVC camera. So almost ruined the night of coverage. But anyway, talked enough. We'll get off in here. Everyone have a great weekend. And we'll see you from Florida at probably about 8 or 9 p.m. Eastern on the next show. So you don't have to be up late to watch like we are in Honolulu. So I'll be 4 shows in Florida and then back here to Hawaii. I'll be home for a week. And then we're having our annual retreat. And actually going to be in Chicago, 4th, 5th, and 6th. So I'll be in Chicago for a few days. So a terrible time to be in Chicago. Too cold. The guys want to torture me. They really, really do. And I'm sure they're all going to get a laugh on that. But anyway, that's it. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time from the Geekness Central podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. My name is Todd Cochran. Aloha.